Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Monday, February 5th, as Blake Griffin continued on Saturday to bring some light to the darkness that is Detroit sports. Sorry to start off so morbid there, but this is your host, Matt Shook, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. But also check out the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed and our Facebook page as well at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Been fun to cover this team on the podcast, and thanks for joining me every day like you all do. But today on the Monday podcast, we're going to take a look back at that win against the Miami Heat on Saturday, and also look ahead to the Portland Trail Blazers on Monday night as they will be coming to Little Caesars Arena. I got some other interesting news and notes from the weekend to pass along as well that I think you guys might enjoy. And then later on, we're going to be asking the questions, will the Detroit Pistons be the next team from the Motor City to win a championship? Of course, this is after the Philadelphia Eagles picked up the Super Bowl win on Sunday. Congratulations to all you who have some Philly ties or are Eagles fans or whatever else who are listening to the podcast as from wherever you are listening to it today. So congratulations to the Eagles. And we'll see who of the Detroit sports teams has the best chance of getting on the stage and getting one of those trophies from the commissioner someday. But first things first, the Detroit Pistons, they're trying to rebuild what was a lost season, but they picked up the 111-107 win on Saturday against the Miami Heat, moving the Pistons to 25-26, one game under 500. The three-game winning streak also has the Pistons one game out of the playoffs. Blake Griffin playing in his second game as a Piston after the big trade on Monday with the Los Angeles Clippers. Blake was 6 of 19 from the field. Stan Van Gundy talked afterward about finding opportunities for Blake within the free flow of the offense. This is going to be a new challenge for Stan and this team, although Blake Griffin still ended up with a pretty good stat line. He was a little bit lost and out of the offense pretty much throughout the fourth quarter and most of the second half, really. Sometimes you want to ISO good players like Blake Griffin, but Stan Van Gundy has talked about how things sometimes stagnate when that happens, and the Pistons are going to have to find a balance because they do have one of those good isolation type players in Blake Griffin now, but they've also built whatever success they've had offensively, a lot of success early in the season, but that's kind of been built around an emotion type offense that doesn't really pick a lot of favorites. And then you throw in the monkey wrench of Andre Drummond being up at the top of the key or away from the post a little bit, and that's where Blake Griffin has done a lot of the damage throughout his career as well, although both guys can get moving towards the basket and have success too, and also both guys are playmakers from the high post as well. So it's a little, a lot of things to think about and a lot of things to iron out offensively, but that's why Stan Van Gundy is paid a lot of money to be the coach of the Detroit Pistons after he makes a lot whatever moves he wants to set himself up while setting up the roster as the architect of the Detroit Pistons as well. That's going to be the challenge of these next few weeks, is figuring it all out. But good to see Andre Drummond respond well and have a great game on Saturday night against the Heat. 23 points and 20 rebounds. I believe it was the 19th time in his career that he's had over 20 points and 20 rebounds in the game. Big three late from Ish Smith, who had 25 points and was outstanding in the game for the Pistons to pick up the win against Miami. And they just have a reputation of developing players. Pat Riley, still in charge of the franchise. Eric Spoelstra does a great job as coach there. Everyone who follows the league will agree with that. You see a guy like Josh Richardson, for instance, the second round pick. He's now one of the top 3-and-D guys in the league, and that comes from the development of those players and just getting them into the system and doing all the things that they do to get guys ready. They got tough guys like Bam Adebayo and James Johnson as well. We look at Spoelstra. He's definitely in the running for Coach of the Year. And by the way, I wanted to mention that the Lockdown Network voted Brad Stevens as midseason Coach of the Year. I'll put up a link to all the awards that we voted on. Also, James Harden came down with the MVP, and I voted for him as well. My vote for Coach of the Year, by the way, did go to Dwayne Casey and not Brad Stevens. I felt like the Toronto coach has done a lot to reinvigorate that team, so that's where my vote went for midseason. So we'll see how things shake out the rest of the year. But with Spoelstra, I covered the Heat a couple weeks ago here in Chicago against the Bulls on Martin Luther King Day. And before the game, we all crowded around Spoelstra and had a mini press conference with him, and he talked about, I think they signed the kid who was in the dunk contest for Phoenix last year, His name escapes me right now, maybe Jeremy Jones or something like that. But, you know, one of these G League type guys, and they had just brought him in on a two-way deal for Miami that day or the day before. So all the local Miami writers were asking him about that, and he just kind of talked about how Spoelstra said, you know, we've got a program here and it's not for everybody. And it just kind of struck me that, yeah, it probably isn't for everybody, the kind of punishment that they put some of these guys through in skill development and hours and pain and body work that they put a lot of these guys through. And it shows, as they have a lot of guys out there that aren't usually household names, but they're putting together great careers, and they've got them in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff race there with, like I said, without a lot of superstars and household names over the years. But in that game on Saturday, Dwight Bikes had the flu and did not play, and Luke Kennard missed the game with a toe injury. So obviously something for Pistons fans to keep an eye on as they look ahead to the Portland Trailblazers. And we'll be talking next about those Trailblazers. And like I said, some other notable news and notes from the weekend that I wanted to pass along as well. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking about, are the Pistons the next Detroit champions? And we'll kind of size up the four major sports teams and see who might be the next one to win a title, as we're going on 10 years this spring and summer since the Red Wings won the Cup in 08, that the Motor City has been without a Detroit professional sports franchise winning the title. And I wanted to clear up the name from last segment. Derrick Jones Jr. was the dunker from Phoenix, not Jeremy Jones, that I was trying to think of off the top of my head. But speaking of athletic players, young players in the league, how about Stanley Johnson? 16.8 points and 6 rebounds per game over the last 4. So the Blake Griffin trade and whatever else is going on, maybe with his health, has been affecting Stanley Johnson in a good way lately. And I wanted to point out this quote from Stan Van Gundy from the end of last week. I believe this was from Friday's practice after the win against Memphis and before the Miami game. I got this from a Vince Ellis story in the Free Press over the last couple days. But Stan Van Gundy says, if you're going to do what everybody else is doing, you have to get the best of those guys. So sometimes I think the approach to go against the grain a little bit and say everybody else wants perimeters, so we'll take big guys and build around that. It makes more sense than saying it's a perimeter league, so let's go out and get in the race to get the third level perimeter guys. It just doesn't make sense. And I agree with that. That's been something that I've been saying about the Pistons and where they should be heading for the last few years. It's not just that, oh, you need guys who can do these certain things that every other team in the league is doing. And I know that you need to make three-pointers in this league. That's obviously a thing, and big guys have to be athletic in this league. So it's I'm not saying buck all the trends and just do everything completely different, but if there are not guys out there like Steph Curry, there's only one of Steph Curry. There's only one Damian Lillard. There's only one Kevin Durant. Obviously, there's only one LeBron James. You're not going to get those guys. So what kind of guys can you get? What kind of team can you build? It's the same way that the Detroit Pistons have always built themselves over the last several decades. When you talk about the Bad Boys, when you talk about the going to work era, those guys, those teams were built in different ways than the other teams in the league were being built at that time. They were built behind defense when everyone was trying to score and get the most talented players out there. The Pistons were always built on toughness. So we'll see how this team mirrors some of those teams in the past and what kind of success this group ultimately has down the road. But I think it's smart of Stan Van Gundy to be thinking of a little bit outside the box and not just saying, well, let's just look at three-point percentages and draft certain guys and maybe sign certain guys just because of that. And I think that's maybe the trap that they fell into a little bit when looking at guys like Langston Galloway in free agency for the three-year, $21 million contract that he got, and also for Luke Kennard and over Donovan Mitchell in the draft. But wanted to also pass along that former friends are still playing out there. The LA Clippers beat the Bulls here in Chicago. Actually, that was in LA on Saturday night by 10, and Tobias Harris made his debut in the starting lineup for the Clips. He had 24 points in the win. Avery Bradley also started. He had 8 points, and then Boban did not get off the bench. He didn't play. So his broken record of a career that doesn't really get off the bench too much continues for Doc Rivers and the Clippers. The Pistons will be hosting the Clippers and those former teammates on Friday night in Detroit, and that game was moved to ESPN on Friday night as well, so another national television telecast for the Detroit Pistons. Also want to pass along that according to Brad Galley of WXYZ7, the Pistons game on Thursday, Blake Griffin's debut with Detroit, it drew the highest TV rating for regular season games since 2008, and that was according to the Pistons as well. Pistons playing the Trailblazers tonight, Brooklyn at home on Wednesday, and then the Clippers on Friday. But again, the Trailblazers coming in, they will be playing their third game in four nights, and they're coming in at 29-24. Those first two games of this quick road trip were losses, including a loss in Boston on Saturday afternoon after Al Horford beat the buzzer with the fadeaway. So the Blazers fought hard. They were up by 16 at halftime, despite Dame Lillard having shooting problems throughout the night. So we'll see what kind of energy that the Blazers have in Detroit on a back-to-back. The game tonight will be on NBA TV. The Pistons are two-point favorites. So that'll affect me. I'm a League Pass watcher. So sometimes when the game is on nationally, you can't watch it on League Pass. So, and I don't have NBA TV here at the house. So I'll have to figure out a way to watch the game tonight. The Blazers have dropped 6 of 8 of their last road games in that stretch. So not playing very well right now, but they're still in the thick of the Western Conference playoff race. The thing to know about the Blazers is the dynamic backcourt, C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, just maybe one of the better offensive backcourts in the league outside of Golden State. Of course, those guys can fill it up from outside and from inside and driving as well. They're both getting over 20 a game. I think C.J.'s getting 21.2, and Lillard's getting over 25 points a game as well. Lillard's going to be making his first All-Star appearance this month, too, joining Andre Drummond in that game. And the other similarity that he has with Andre Drummond, and he's also a rapper too, so you might want to check out some of Dame Lillard's stuff. As far as other players, they've got Al-Farouq Aminu and Yusuf Nurkic is their top post player. They got him from a trade in Denver last season. Nurkic is playing pretty well so far this year too, 14 points and 8 rebounds a game for the Blazers too. So an interesting team, one of the favorites of NBA Twitter. Portland's the place to be right now in terms of where to live. So it's a cool franchise that everyone tries to follow as much as possible, but they get overshadowed by some of the great teams in the Western Conference. They're kind of on that second level in the West where it's a little bit of no man's land. We have such great teams down in Houston and Golden State as well. The other interesting subplot for the Pistons with Kennard and Bikes missing the game on Saturday against Miami is that maybe they'll bring over a player or two from Grand Rapids with Kay Felder and Reggie Hearn being the two-way players that they have over there that could help in the backcourt as well, something to keep an eye on. But we're going to be talking about if the Pistons are the next Detroit champions here on Locked On Pistons. But speaking of champions, if you watch that Super Bowl and you're hungry for Matt Patricia to be not the Pistons coach, as Al Michaels mentioned incorrectly on the broadcast, but the Lions coach coming up, you need to be listening daily to the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. You should be checking that out every day. We have podcasts for every NBA team and every NFL team here on the Locked On Network. So you should check out your favorites there as well. The Locked On Network, your team, every day. The drought has gotten long. I don't know what this really quite says about me, but one of the real considerations and bummers about leaving Michigan when I did in 2010 was I was thinking, what happens if one of my teams wins a championship and I'm not around for it? Not only did the parade and the clinching win enter in my mind, but also the buildup of the pure joy that comes when a team gets good for the first time in a while and it becomes cool to be a fan of that team again. We all remember the last few years of the going to work era when it kind of dragged on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, the Jerry Stackhouse days when the Pistons started getting good again, got into the playoffs and acquired Ben Wallace, acquired Rip Hamilton. You guys all know what happened there. But, all those guys in the going to work era were kind of a shell and maybe the team should have moved on well before. I don't think the Allen Iverson trade really ended things. I think the thing was already done with the going to work era, but maybe the Pistons are entering into another one of these eras right now. And I know I talk a little bit about this macro sense and street level view of where this team is at right now, but the consensus is that, after they made the trade that it ensures mediocrity for the next few years, when you talk about the Pistons, I think that was kind of the national narrative about things. Now the Pistons have looked pretty good in the first couple games against a Memphis being a bad team and Miami being a pretty good team. And I understand the thinking of where you would place the Blake Griffin Pistons over the next 5 years as kind of an also ran in the Eastern Conference, probably a pretty safe pick to make the playoffs after this year if they can get full seasons out of some of these guys. But if you're looking around the Eastern Conference, short of Milwaukee maybe getting its act together with Giannis and everything, there's not really a dynasty-looking team out there. I'm really not sold on Boston as far as a championship contender as maybe some of the pundits and everyone out there around the league. I think that's a team that can be dealt with over the next few years. Obviously, when Gordon Hayward comes back, maybe they become a little bit of a juggernaut in the future. But I'd like to think there's some Eastern Conference teams out there that have a chance. And as far as we know, the NBA isn't thinking about any ways of knocking the Eastern Conference champions away from the NBA Finals. So if you get into that Finals, there's a little bit of a puncher's chance there. And I don't think this, certainly this Pistons team as currently constructed, is not a championship contender. But when you're looking at the pieces you can build around as far as Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson to a lesser extent, and I know that the salary numbers tie up their cap flexibility quite a bit, but I think a lot of teams around the league have that problem too. So, you know, you'd like to have better wings on this team, but if you got Blake Griffin, maybe some players, in the future will take less money to come play alongside. Maybe Detroit will come a little bit more of a destination for some of those veteran free agents. Maybe you can get a veteran shooting guard that can come over and try for a nice season at the end of his career with Detroit, play with Andre and Blake and have some open shots on the outside, but also a possible starting spot too. And also when you think about some of the players already on the roster, maybe Reggie Bullock's upward trajectory continues a little bit and he gets even better as time goes on. And maybe some young pieces turn into trade chips, or Luke Kennard gets really good or something like that. I mean, there's chances out there for the Pistons to possibly be that team. And if we're looking at the other teams around town, the Tigers, I mean, we're talking about that team being years away from being competitive. If you're looking at this season, you're hoping that maybe Castellanos turns into a player that you could possibly trade for pieces down the road, although he's talking about being a leader with this team for many years to come. Same kind of thing with Miggy. Maybe he comes back, has a pretty good year, and then the money that you have to swallow on his contract maybe won't be as much as it is right now, and you can get rid of him for value. You're talking about the Tigers' future. Guys like Matt Manning, Bo Burrows, Alex Fado, and Franklin Perez, the four shining prospects that the Tigers have in the system right now, those guys are like 19, 20, and 21 years old. And then you had the first pick in the draft this summer. You're talking about some nice pieces there, but again, years and years away from being, talked about as a playoff team or anything like that. Moving on to the Lions, a lot of talk about them with Matt Patricia becoming the coach there, but they're still the Lions. I mean, they're probably the odds-on favorite if you talk to fans about this list of who the next championship team are, based for the fact that you have a franchise quarterback in Matthew Stafford. But again, this is the Detroit Lions we're talking about. Let's get a playoff victory. Let's get, a solid half a season of games before we talk about them hoisting the Super Bowl trophy. And again, the Pistons aren't a great pick either. I'm not saying that during these next 5 years with Blake Griffin, the chances are they will win an NBA championship. Certainly, they're a long shot at best of doing that. So my point is that these aren't very good situations as we look around either. And the Lions might, on paper, talent-wise, be that team that might be the selection. But again, I'll believe it when I see it with them. The Red Wings, there's just not a whole lot there. I don't get to watch a lot of the Red Wings games. I don't watch with NHL center ice or anything like that. But my dad watches pretty much every game, and I get the report from him a couple times a week. He's, obviously Mantha and Athanasiou are good young players. Larkin, too. I mean, those guys have taken a step forward this year after maybe taking a step back last year. So there is a little bit of reason for optimism, but I don't think those young guys certainly aren't in the top 10 is of great, young talent in the NHL right now. Just to put it this way, the points leader on the team right now for the Red Wings is Dylan Larkin with 38 points, and that's tied for 63rd in the NHL. And I think that points to kind of an overall lack of talent that Ken Holland and the other Red Wings brass are going to have to deal with going forward. Despite maybe asking at the top of the segment who the next team might be to win a championship, the better question might even be, what's the over-under for the year that one of these Detroit teams might win it? We go back, the Red Wings won in 2008, so that's going to be 10 years this summer since Detroit had a championship. Do you think that we are more than halfway toward another title? Maybe we will get one by 2028? Or are we, kind of stuck into another decade or so of not seeing another championship here in Detroit. That's another 10 years, 2028, 40-plus championships from now that they're going to be giving out, presumably, in all these sports. The law of averages says that you should get one of those and maybe be on your way to number two, but I'm pretty skeptical. If you think that there's going to be one in the next 10 years, and I'm looking around the Eastern Conference, I'm looking at the ages of Andre Drummond, the salary cap nature of the NBA, where you kind of get penalized for being good for a stretch of time. I mean, look at what's happening with the Cleveland Cavaliers this year. You win a championship, you re-sign guys like J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson for more money than they possibly deserve, and that ends up screwing you over in the long run. We might see that with Klay Thompson. Are they going to be able to keep him in Golden State and all four of those guys over the next several years together? I think that the NBA does a pretty good job of shuffling the deck a little bit. I know that people might be laughing at that because you have the same franchise seemingly winning year in, year out. But remember, the Pistons are one of those franchises that seems to find a way to get into the upper echelon over stretches of time. Now, this latest stretch of time has been a while, but I'm going to go with the Pistons just because we've got a history of winning here with the Pistons, and mostly because of the lack of other good choices. I think that team might be the Pistons, and if you were to say, you know, gun to my head, first of all, I'd say put that gun away and take it off my head. But second of all, we're just talking sports here. But second of all, if you said in the next 10 years, will the Pistons or will a Detroit team win a title? I would say, based on the law of averages, that someone's going to figure out a way to do it. Maybe the rejuvenation of the city will throw a little bit more of cash into the coffers of some of these owners and organizations to do whatever they can and need to do to step up and become one of those top teams. So I'm going to bet on Detroit as a city, as the professional sports hub over the next 10 years that they would win a title. And if you said, now you have to say which of those franchises it will be, I'm going to have to say the Pistons too. And I know that's not the most ringing endorsement ever. And I'm sorry again that I really just don't believe in the Lions. They are the Lions. But I'm going to go with the Pistons for that team if I had to single out one of them. So I want to know what you guys think. Hit me up on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Shoot me the team that you think will win the title next for the Pistons, and if you think it will be within the next 10 years. And I'll kind of compile some of those choices, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on in the week. So let me know what you think. So tomorrow's podcast, we're going to be wrapping up the Portland Trailblazers game on Tuesday. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this topic as well and whatever comes about from tonight's game. But thanks, everyone, for your support out there. I want to get you to follow the Locked On NBA Network on Twitter at LockedOnNBAnet and go ahead and check out our Facebook page at LockedOnPistons-MattShook. I want to thanks everyone for all your support over these last week or so, especially with the Blake Griffin trade. A lot of downloads, a lot of listens. You guys are responding to what could be an exciting new era in Detroit Pistons basketball. So thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you all again soon.